From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
Well, we are stuck in this horrible backup on the Bay Bridge. You can see the cars here next to me moving slowly. If we take you to our traffic cam, you can see the significant backup. This is because of two incidents on the bridge. Unfortunately, one was fatal. We're live with the latest as we drive through all of this.
Yeah, we are following that breaking news where traffic is still just crawling along at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. I'll have an update on the lane closures and, of course, those best alternate routes coming right up.
And good news for California. All of this rain has actually helped our drought monitor. We just got an update this morning. I'll tell you more about that coming up in your full forecast.
We've had one collective trauma after another.
Just was really angry about the lack of response from the school administration.
Two masked students storm a Petaluma classroom and attack another student. Why parents and their kids are questioning how the school handled this.
Also this morning, Amanda, in San Jose, a teenager is recovering from stab wounds this morning. Now there are climbing concerns of what exactly is going on with violence in our Bay Area schools.
Yeah, lots to get to this morning. In fact, we're going to start off with something that's affecting a lot of commuters as they head over into the city. Major delays continue on the Bay Bridge. This following a crash that happened on the upper deck, and sadly, two people died in that crash. So our Jocelyn Moran has been in Mobile 5 this morning. Jocelyn, you've been traveling west on the Bay Bridge, and I just learned that they've opened up a couple of lanes from that earlier. There's been two problems out there from one of those trouble spots. And how are things looking now as you travel through?
Yeah, Jana, you mentioned those couple of lanes being opened up. I think that is helping a little bit with the backup. We're seeing things moving a little bit smoother, a little bit quicker, but still the backup is significant. You can see next to me just how slow these cars are moving. If we move to our traffic cam now, those brake lights, we're having to hit our brakes pretty often here, and you can see that it's still pretty slow as we do head close to the tunnel here. But yeah, two incidents causing this backup here. I want to take you to some video here that we do have of one of those incidents. Unfortunately, two people did die here. This was right before Treasure Island. A black Charger reportedly crashed into the back of a semi truck. Those are the reports we are getting. Lanes 2 through 5 were initially closed. A couple have opened, but still this is causing a backup even after several hours. We even have people in our newsroom that were in this. Second incident on the upper deck. This was after the tunnel. Police activity was in that area, but we are getting reports that they are clearing that as well. So, Jana, back here, when we think about when we were looking at our traffic cam here, the backup is still significant. Again, it is moving a little bit quicker when I 30 minutes left to get through the bridge. But of course, we are going to be updating you with that, Gianna.
Yeah, thank you so much for all these updates, Jocelyn. I know a lot. This is affecting so many people commuting into San Francisco, and we're in 7 o'clock hour now. So it's just going to get a little bit worse with all the commuters. All right, Jocelyn, thanks. Let's take a look at those alternates, what you can do to get around this mess. You got a couple of options because, you know, Jocelyn's traveling a little closer to the tunnel. This is what it looks like at the toll plaza. Still bumper to bumper traffic. They've got those metering lights turned on very early this morning to kind of help with that congestion there, but look at the backup coming off the East Shore Freeway. Richmond San Rafael Bridge, good option, but still busy because a lot of people are using that over to 101 to cut through the Golden Gate Bridge to head into San Francisco. In fact, I'm going to zoom in here and you can see westbound 580, north 880, westbound 80, all very busy this morning. San Mateo Bridge, that's another option for an alternate to avoid some of those brake lights at the Bay Bridge. But as we see more cars out there, it is certainly going to change your travel times. So the Richmond San Rafael Bridge commute at 26 minutes. San Mateo Bridge, 33 minutes, and the Bay Bridge, about an hour to go from the maze over into San Francisco. You can always use public transit. BART and ferry service running on time this morning, so those are good options as well to kind of avoid some of those brake lights. But the effect from just the Bay Bridge backup is also causing big delays on the East Shore Freeway. Here's Jess with your forecast.
All right, well, breaking news. The drought monitor just got updated this morning, and this is great news for us here in the Bay Area. About 99% of the Bay Area is officially out of drought conditions. Throughout the whole state, however, we're still working with some moderate drought conditions and severe drought conditions, too. But this is such an improvement compared to even just 2-3 months ago, before all these atmospheric rivers moved in. And, of course, those did cause a lot of damage all throughout the Bay Area and all throughout California. But here's that silver lining. Our droughts are starting to improve. And to add to that, the reservoirs are starting to fill. Let's take a look at daytime highs as we head into this afternoon, starting off with current conditions, 40s throughout the Bay Area, 30s just near Santa Rosa. We are expected to warm up into the upper 50s, mid to low 60s this afternoon. Whether you live along the coast, the Bay, or even off in our inland areas, it will be a mild day today. And if you didn't get the opportunity yesterday to take care of some, you know, yard work from all of the craziness on Tuesday, or even just some help around the neighborhood when it came to the downed trees, today is such a great day to help out with the recovery from the atmospheric river that swept through on Tuesday. If you don't have any work to do and you just want to get out there and stretch your legs, head to a local park. The weather out here is lovely this afternoon, but we do have rain returning into the forecast. That doesn't happen until late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. I'll time that storm out for you coming up in just a bit. For now, over to you, Angie.
All right, I will take it, Jessica, but I'm happy to have a nice day today. Well, tens of thousands of people, though, across the Bay Area are still in the dark, and some of them have been for a while. As many as 367,000 customers lost power during Tuesday's windstorm. PG&E says that's the most in a single day since 1995. A live look at the PG&E outage map now. Most of the remaining outages are actually in the South Bay this morning. PG&E says the big windstorm led to the worst single day for Bay Area outages in almost 30 years. So this morning, nearly 99,000 people are still without power, but that's down from about 300,000 from Tuesday. And there's been a significant improvement in these outages since those strong winds 2 days ago, but still thousands are going into 48 hours today without power. That includes parts of Burlingame, San Mateo, Redwood City, Menlo Park, and Los Altos. A lot of residents in Los Altos are in the dark, and people there have been getting creative. St. William Catholic Church in Los Altos held services by candlelight last night. But at the same time, businesses in town are losing money. One restaurant owner says they could be out of power until tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, which is supposed to be a huge day for them.
I don't know why it take this much long to repair in this century, this lifestyle, high speed, everything, you know. We got to start worrying about the rent, because rent coming. Every month you need to pay your rent, business rent, and you need to pay your mortgage.
It's really tough. So for those who do use generators, PG&E says to have it installed by a licensed electrician and have really good ventilation. You can stay with CBS News Bay Area as we monitor the impacts of this storm. We are always on at KPIX.com and the CBS News app. Justin.
Well, when parents send their kids off to school every single day, they expect them to be safe there, right? In fact, if you ask any mom, dad, or caregiver, most would probably tell you it's their top concern. Recently, Bay Area students have dealt with some pretty disturbing incidents at several schools over the past few weeks. A 15-year-old was stabbed inside a classroom at Sunrise Middle School in San Jose yesterday morning. Police say it was after a fight. The student was rushed to the hospital and is expected to be okay. Parents lined up to pick up their kids, some of them visibly upset.
It makes you feel a little worried, I guess. They're worried about me. They're like, are you okay and all that stuff. That's it.
This is a shock. We've never had anything remotely close to this happening.
The suspect was taken to juvenile hall, charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Sunrise Middle School will be back open today. Later this evening, the school will have a meeting for parents to talk about safety. That stabbing at Sunrise Middle sounds familiar. That's because it is. Just a few weeks ago, we told you about that stabbing at Montgomery High in Santa Rosa, where a 16-year-old was stabbed to death in a classroom. Students from five separate schools in Santa Rosa have been arrested since the beginning of this month for bringing weapons on campus. That's very unsettling. Police seized five knives and one unloaded gun since the deadly stabbing at Montgomery High. Santa Rosa students have been very vocal, demanding change. They've started the largest student protest movement in the North Bay that it's seen in years. And now, Gianna, parents in Petaluma, they have similar concerns, and we can understand why.
I mean, you send your kids to school to learn, not to worry about their safety. So absolutely. And Justin, we are learning that two mass students stormed a high school classroom and attacked another student. This was at Casa Grande High School. It happened on February 17th, and some students, parents, and teachers have said they're not happy with how the school handled this. Andrea Nakano with more.
the more I thought about it, the more it made me angry, and that there was a lack of response and also a lack of accountability.
Jennifer Inden has a daughter that goes to Casa Grande High School. When she read this email from the school about the attack on a student by two masked suspects, she had questions.
I can't be the only one that is really angry about this. Like, we have to, as parents, we have to advocate and advocate for better procedures, better safety measures, better training, better support for faculty and students and administration all the way around.
Since then, Inden has been active on social media, speaking out at public meetings and attending this roundtable discussion to address safety in schools.
Stories stay, lessons leave. So what you hear here stays here, but the lessons leave with you.
Maite Turi is the assistant superintendent of Petaluma City Schools. She feels it's critical to partner with the community to find solutions.
We really want to engage with our community and hear what they have to say and hear what kind of solutions they might have. I mean, we don't have all the answers.
With the rash of school violence from the South Bay to Santa Rosa, it's not just an issue in one particular community. While there are many factors to consider, Assistant Superintendent Ituri says the pandemic impacted kids in so many ways.
Students really need that kind of that structure and that the socialization and that, I mean, it's the ABCs, but it's also learning to be with one another and learning how to interact. And I think a lot of kids have missed that, and we're seeing the consequences of that.
The solutions are expected to be just as complex as the root of the problem. But parents are demanding the school district to implement safety measures and to have trained staff on campuses to handle these issues. Inden, though, knows parents will have to do their part as well.
It's gonna take all of us. It is not one organization or entity or person's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities, and we have to work together to come out on the other side.